Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, what can intelligence do about terrorism? My guest is Patrick Skinner. He's a former CIA operations officer. That means a field officer on the ground. And he's currently the director of special projects for the Sufan Group, which is a security consultancy. Patrick Skinner, thanks again for being on the program.
You're welcome.
So you had a piece in the Sufan Group's newsletter this week about essentially human intelligence versus signals intelligence, and obviously writing off of what's just happened in Paris. Just to set the stage a little bit, you know, signals intelligence, listeners, is everything that the National Security Agency or others can steal from telephones, from email, from any kind of electronic or digital or communication system. And human intelligence is what people on the ground are able to get sources and people that they recruit to what information they're able to get from human sources. So, Patrick, what was your thesis in your piece?
Well, it's that we're collecting a tremendous amount of information, but we're not much more wise than we used to be. We're collecting everything, and if you keep doing that, you end up knowing nothing. So much SIGINT is being collected, but it's not being analyzed. We literally don't have enough humans to analyze what the machines are collecting for us.
And that's been true since before 9/11. I mean, after 9/11, it turned out that they had intercepts of some of this stuff, but they didn't have enough guys who spoke, you know, relevant languages, Arabic in that case. So has that really not changed since 9/11?
Yeah, it's actually gotten worse because we're kind of a technology solution-driven country. And so we think that the answer to having too much technology in our analysis is to add more technology. And so it's shameful. I mean, it is shameful that we've, you know, done this again. There's never a lack of information. So what we've done with billions of dollars and really smart people and very well-intended people who are trying to manage huge threats, which is something we can talk about that are growing at a much faster rate. But what we've done is we've built a much more accurate, much faster hindsight machine.
Okay, I think you've got the title of your next book right there, The Hindsight Machine. You know, after 9/11, there was a massive increase in spending on signals intelligence. The NSA, you know, has been building all over the place. You know, in fact, Augusta, Georgia is a place where there's a big signals intelligence location, which is, in fact, where a lot of speakers of odd languages from Afghanistan, Pashto and, you know, Arabic and so on are supposed to be based. But, you know, and they're giant facilities that have been written about all across the country, let alone, you know, near Fort Meade in Maryland, the home of the NSA. But what has happened on the human intelligence side, or has not happened, you know, in concurrence, in parallel with signals intelligence getting so much larger?
The problem is that human intelligence takes so long, and I mean, we're a nation with a really short attention span, and we want shiny products. And human intelligence is the exact opposite of that. It is, I'll shock the listeners by saying that human intelligence, for the most part, if you're doing it correctly, is almost boring. If you filmed a clandestine meeting, it would be really boring because all it is questions and questions and questions trying to get to the heart of the matter. And it doesn't matter the setting, it's still one case officer asking questions of one source. And so, and there's no way to speed that up. And as there are more terror threats, which they, you know, they are increasing, I'm usually optimistic, but not on that case. It's hard to generate new sources. You just can't make, you know, somebody come and work for you. It doesn't work that way.
And right. Then, you have to recruit them. You have to, you know, you have to go through all of the, you know, the human dance of trying to get somebody to spill secrets that is really not in their interest to spill, probably.
Exactly. And then you add the complexity of a war zone where we're not in. So it's very difficult. I'm not going to parachute into Raqqa and try to look for spies. And so
I think you'd stand out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I am kind of a short person. but it's being done, but it takes a long time. And you know, the successes are going to be few and far between. They're very meaningful. But the problem is our entire CT system has all this signals intelligence, and I'm not diminishing that. It is an incredible accomplishment, and it does help. I mean, it prevents threats, you know, when they get lucky enough to be looking at something when it matters. But without a human intelligence, you have no context. And clearly in Paris, say you have 10 threats. You know, France has a lot more than that, but each country has a threat matrix, and they rank their threats for terrorism. And without some kind of context, you have no idea if the ranking is important, what you should be focusing on. If everything is scary and it's a bunch of noise and you can't figure out the signal from the noise, you're blind.
And now, as we've seen in Paris, there are literally, you know, thousands of people who fought in Syria and Iraq who have European passports, who can come home. And as the French have said, you know, they knew about some of these people, but they literally... To follow one person 24 hours a day takes, you know, 25 people, and they just literally don't have the manpower to follow everybody. So can you give me a concrete example of a case where human intelligence made? Can you put this in a specific context?
Well, I mean, most of the best human cases are actually walk-ins where somebody has come into an embassy and volunteered. You know, that's how. You know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was found, and a bunch of other people. Those, because it's difficult to penetrate these terror cells, but sometimes they get, you know, disaffected, angry members that split off, and then they go volunteer. And that's always the best way to do it. And it's, you know, you have to handle it very quickly. It's tense, and, you know, you have to do it right. But walk-ins or volunteers are by far the best. There has been, you know, a lot of arrest in the States. 60 this year of ISIS supporters, and that's usually based on informants. They're alerted through social media, but then they bring informants in.
How can we be in a position where, at this point, we still don't have enough people listening to signals intelligence who speak Arabic? You know, after 14 years, you know, I understand there are all kinds of security issues of what if their cousin is back home and whatever. So a lot of people who want to work have been not allowed to work on the intelligence service because of fears of connections from countries that they originated from or relatives and so on. But you would think there'd be enough people going through language school to create enough people to do this. It's hard to understand that. Can you explain?
Well, I think that problem, it hasn't been solved because they have, you know, they've filled a lot of these vacancies. They've increased the positions. I think they've done pretty well. There is a big fear of, you know, hiring a native speaker of, let's say, Arabic, because it's much harder to vet their background, you know, through generations and through distance. And so for the agency, it's actually much cheaper just to teach me Arabic, which is counterproductive because I'll never speak it as well as
and culturally, you'll never understand the nuances.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I sound like BBC Shakespeare Arabic, but I don't think it's a problem of staffing. They've done a pretty good job. They've really plussed this up. Language schools are pumping out people, and they're also hiring. They're getting better, smarter at vetting and hiring first generation. I mean, you have to, you know, you can't be a dual citizen. You have to be just a U.S. citizen to get these clearances. But I mean, I think that's not the issue. I think the issue is that the threat matrix is just overwhelming. I mean, there's just so much chatter, and a lot of it's misleading, a lot of it's boastful, and most of it's just garbage. It's just teenagers venting in whatever language they vent in. But we have to still go through that, because after the fact, you'll be able to pull back and say, oh, see, and that's what the hindsight machine basically does for us. It helps investigations, but it doesn't help for that first attack.
Now, you know, another thing that happened after 9/11, for understandable reasons, is that the CIA and human intelligence was really directed more towards essentially paramilitary operations, in a sense, rather than classic human intelligence. In other words, you know, who are the targets? Who are the leaders of Al-Qaeda? How do we find them? And how do we kill them? And a lot of intelligence was directed to finding people that, you know, drones or spec ops, special ops people would go in and then deal with. Is that another trend that has led to this hindsight problem?
I don't know. That might be a separate issue. I think it's hurt us in traditional espionage ways, not related to terrorism. I mean, we've obviously focused so much on terrorism that we might be missing what Russian intentions are, because obviously we're focused in intelligence and counterterrorism, or CT, is much different. It's a little quicker. But you're right. It was the mission became paramilitary, because normally we would handle such cases with liaisons, but in Iraq and Afghanistan and Somalia and Yemen, you may or may not have a capable liaison partner. And, you know, what's the point of detecting the terrorist cell and then just monitoring that? That's pointless. So we would, drone strikes or spec ops or local liaison but that's a tactic. And so, and people, rightly criticize saying, hey, we've done all this and the problem is much worse. And that is true. But it's because we were trying to fight a forest fire with a fire extinguisher. It's just one tactic, and we need a lot more of other tactics.
So if you were James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, and you were with President Obama, and he said, tell me what you really think, what would you say to him? What do we need to do?
I think we need to add context, and it's difficult. It's exceedingly difficult. We need to basically, we have two options. Either we make the world slow down, which is impossible, or we slow our analysis down just a little bit. These threats are happening fast, but they still take time to develop. I would try to, and I'm sure they're doing it. There are a lot of things that we're not aware of, but obviously there are holes. I would much closer marry human and signals intelligence, and it gets dicey with classifications and clearances and sources and methods. Everyone, has their own protection and categories, but without some kind of context, there has to be context, because literally otherwise it's just like reading Twitter. It's meaningless and it's usually frustrating.
My guest has been Patrick Skinner, Director of Special Projects at the Soufan Group. Tomorrow, we'll continue my conversation with Patrick Skinner, talking about the terrorism threat ahead.